there other countries that have approved RBGH? Apparently, the hormone was banned in Europe and Canada. Canada? That's strange because Health Canada usually models its decisions on the FDA's. RBGH, scandal at Health Canada. Monsanto accused of attempt to bribe Health Canada for RBGH.
Margaret Hayden, I swear that the evidence I shall give...
In October 1998, three scientists from Health Canada testified before a Senate commission in order to stop the approval of the transgenic hormone. The scandal was made public by whistleblower Dr. Shiv Chopra.
Shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. My question to myself was, what truth am I going to tell, the one I know or the what the minister is telling me to tell? And that was my conflict.
I would ask each one of you, have everyone, any one of you been lobbied by Monsanto? Any one of you?
No. Dr. Hayden?
I did attend a meeting back approximately about, I believe, 1989-90, and Monsanto representatives had met with myself and my supervisor, Dr. Drennan, and my director, Dr. Messier, and at that meeting, an offer of $1 to $2 million was made by the company, and I don't know any more about what became of that, but my director indicated after the meeting that he was going to report it to his superiors.
How did Monsanto react?
Well, Monsanto did not deny that they made the offer of $1 to $2 million at this meeting. They later on tried to say, oh, this was an offer of research in Canada to do some more studies in cows in Canada or whatever. So anyway, that's what happened in Canada. The drug was not approved. So the European Parliament, based on what revelations in Canada, banned it forever. And then all of a sudden, we three, Margaret Hayden, Gerard Lambert, and I were dismissed for disobedience.
And we fired.
All three of us were fired, and those fights are now in courts.
Welcome back. Need I tell anyone there is nothing more critical than the food we eat? Without food, we are not here. But in many cases, the food we eat is making a lot of us not here at all. It is so toxic. Our right to grow our own food is crucial, and many other issues involving food and choice are absolutely essential to life as we know it. Leave it to Congress to present a bill written by, we're not quite sure whom, which would destroy our basic right to grow, own, trade, transport, share, feed, and each and every food that nature makes. Sound impossible? It's not. It's called S-510, Senate Bill S-510. Now here's a whopper of a name. The Food Safety Modernization Act of 2010. Sounds all right. Well, that's a good idea, isn't it? Let's modernize food safety. Uh-uh. Without doubt, maybe the most dangerous bill in the history of the United States. It is to our food what the bailout was to our economy. Only we can live without the money, but not without the food. This bill will become the most offensive authority against the cultivation, that means growing in your backyard, trade and consumption of food and agricultural products of one's choice. It will be unconstitutional, need I tell you, and contrary to natural law, or if you like, the will of God. That's if this bill gets passed. That was a comment made by my guest this first hour tonight, Dr. Shiv Chopra. He is a Canadian health whistleblower, and you can click on his name and go take a look at the page on Amazon.com where his book, Corrupt to the Core, Memoirs of a Health Canada Whistleblower, is featured as well. Shiv, are you there?
Yes.
Who wrote this piece of crap?
What?
This
what
bill.
You just read, or the bill?
No, the bill, S-510, this unbelievable bill, which is absolutely beyond any normal kind of mental competence, in my view. It's dictatorial, it's fascist, it's all of those things and more. S-510, Senate Bill S-510. Who wrote it?
Well, obviously, it's the government. I don't know who wrote it. There's all kinds of rumors. But one doesn't go by the rumors. It's the one that carries the bill.
Right.
So if it's in the Senate or in the Congress or before the President, so all of those people, ultimately, if they pass it, they will all own this bill. And
in
other words, the government at all levels of the United States.
Right, right.
So they will be responsible to have produced it. I've heard Mr. Obama saying, this is a modernization act, and the old Food and Drugs Act is now too old. We have to revise it.
I see.
They won't give you the reason why the Food and Drugs Act has to be revised, or its history, how that act developed, or what's wrong with it.
Right.
So when we look at the Food and Drugs Act, it's now almost 100 years when it began.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, it was called the Adulteration Act because people were killing other people by mixing all kinds of things and as medicines. So then the Adulteration Act went along for quite a while, quite a number of years. Drugs were just beginning to be, allopathic drugs were just beginning to be made at the early part of the 20th century. Sulfonamide drugs were made, and they were quite wonderful drugs at that time to control bacterial infections.
Right.
Pneumonia,
yeah,
and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But then in 1938, some 100 people died because somebody took the sulfonamide pill and dissolved it in a solvent, ethylene glycol. That is the solution that you use for windshield wiper. And it killed 100 Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And then came the first actual Food and Drugs Act, 1945, which said that no matter what is given to people directly or indirectly, it must be tested in living animals, laboratory animals.
Right.
At least two species, one of which must be a non-rodent, which means dog, cat, and probably even sometimes monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
So you get closer to the people, and then some tests were done in people, and then from 1945 we went along for a while, and then in 1962 occurred another international disaster, the thalidomide. Fortunately, the U.S. Was spared because there was a scientist, a Canadian, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
Working at the FDA, Frances Kelly. She's just turned 95.
Huh.
And she passed, she wouldn't pass thalidomide. She was asking questions, like the scientists should. But all over the world, thousands of babies were born without limbs and so forth.
Oh, hideous deformities, aren't you?
Thalidomide.
Sure. Yep.
And then in 1967, the current Food and Drugs Act was then passed, which now meant that not only the drugs should be, the product should be tested in living animal, laboratory animals, but also in pregnant laboratory animals. And it must also be tested for whether it causes cancer. So a drug would be given to rats and mice for their whole life, 2 years. So that is the basis of the current Food and Drugs Act. And if anybody, in other words, any company that wants to sell any drug, pesticide, or anything that is given to animals must be tested to, according to what I've just described.
Yeah.
And the data must be provided by the companies to the U.S. FDA or other countries, like in my country, Canada, to Health Canada, mm-hmm. and then the product will be approved. And if they have not done the test, or if somebody lies or falsifies, then those people can be sent to jail. That is the law. Now comes along this situation,
mm-hmm.
because the companies, ever since 1967, have been saying the Food and Drugs Act is too rigorous. Because of these regulations, we cannot invent new products. So therefore, you have to deregulate.
Mm-hmm.
And the deregulation, the pressure went on right from the beginning. I joined Health Canada in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
I worked there for 35 years until I was fired 6 years ago with two other people for insubordination.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens is that the companies do not want to do the testing, and they have taken hold of the government, the politicians, and the politicians then say, you pass it by policy. So it doesn't have to be tested for cancer, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So if 1 in a million people die, 1 in a million Americans die due to one product because it'll make more money or it'll help invent new things, then that is acceptable, manageable risk.
In acceptable other words, we don't losses, have to. Sure.
You know, so these are the things that have brought on. S-510 is not just food safety. This is Modernization Act applies to all products, to pesticides, to antibiotics, to hormones, to slaughterhouse waste, which is fed back to animals, and now the latest is genetically modified organisms, which are attached to a whole bunch of pesticides.
That's an incredible range of authority. Just astounding.
This is what's behind this bill. So it's not just food. So talk about food. These are just the public, and some of this is actually true. What's happening is, in the last several years,
mm-hmm.
every now and then there is a recall of meat, for example.
Right.
Thousands, hundreds of thousands of beef gets destroyed.
Sure. E. coli, right. Yeah.
Due to E. coli, salmonella, this and that. Well, the question is, where are they coming from? How come this didn't happen before? That's because of factory farming, one. And so thousands, hundreds of thousands of animals are kept in one place, and chicken, or thousands of beef in one place,
right.
pigs in another place.
Mm-hmm.
And so bacteria, under such intensive conditions, industrial conditions of factory farming, then these bacteria grow there.
Indeed. Stand by right there, if you would, Shiv. We'll take a break. Dr. Shiv Chopra is my guest, and we're talking about something absolutely essential. This is an astounding bill in the Senate, S-510, the so-called Food Safety Modernization Act. Back in just a minute. Okay, and welcome back. We're talking about Senate Bill S-510 with Dr. Shiv Chopra. And it is an incredibly wide-ranging attempt to take control of astonishing numbers of areas of not only food, but other issues, as you heard, antibiotics, health, all kinds of things. Go ahead, Shiv, if you'd like.
Well, as I was saying, this is to take control of food and whatever goes into food, because there are products which should not be in the food supply, but they are. They in our American and Canadian food now has become the most toxic on earth.
Huh.
It's because
wow.
In these two countries, we allow the use of hormones, antibiotics, slaughterhouse waste, which is rendered and fed back to animals, and then there is pesticides and genetically modified organisms, which then, again, uh-huh. depend on pesticides.
The most toxic food on the planet.
The most toxic food on the planet.
Wow.
Now, in the European Union, for example, after they learned that these products were causing cancer, they were causing reproductive disorders, immune disorders, neurological disorders, then they banned at least three of these products, which are hormones, antibiotics, and slaughterhouse waste, are not allowed to be utilized in food production
right.
in the European Union countries.
Mm-hmm.
But in Canada and the United States, they are. And the two wings have been fighting in the World Trade Organization for the last 20 years or so. And Canada and the United States insist that there's no harm being done by them. The European Union say we have proof, scientific proof, that they do, so therefore we're not going to allow those products. Secondly, any food coming from Canada and the United States, I don't mean any food, I mean beef, for example, where hormones are used, antibiotics are used,
sure.
and slaughterhouse waste is being fed back to cattle. Now, the cattle being fed back to cattle is not allowed here, but blood, their blood is still being fed back.
It's being fed also to chickens via chicken feed.
That's right.
Beef products with potential prions and mad cow disease are being used all over the place.
That's right.
Factory farmed fish get it too, all of them.
They're fed to pigs, they're fed to chickens,
yeah.
and all of those are fed back to cattle and to each other.
Time
so
bomb,
in other
folks.
Words,
yeah.
Just imagine what horrendous situation it has become.
Mm-hmm.
There are religious rights here. There are constitutional rights here. There's the divine rights of people, which are being now broken in some way by these corporations, and the governments are on their side.
We're losing our rights and freedoms every day to one degree or another, and you're totally right. These corporations don't care about your right to honestly healthy and wholesome food. They just don't. And
well, you can't blame the corporations because it is their job. Not that they should.
Mm-hmm.
But the governments cannot be their part. It's only after the Wall Street crashes that one bank after another bank and other and car companies and so on, they've destroyed the economic system.
Who do we blame? Who do we blame, Shiv, for toxic food in this country?
Well, because it's the government. If the government, it's not the corporations. Of course, they will do whatever they can get away with.
And they do.
But, you know, the governments, if they are introducing the bill, it's not the corporations, it
mm-hmm.
is the governments which are elected by the people. These are democratic countries. This is not a communist or a fascist country we're talking about.
Not yet.
There's no, supposedly there's no dictatorship, but the whole, these kinds of laws
mm-hmm.
are draconian, and they don't want to consult with people, and when people object, they say that we don't care. We'll do what we want, and that is supposed to be, they say, it's for your safer food. As I was saying before, your safe food is now being contaminated because of the huge size slaughterhouses
mm-hmm.
where when animals are slaughtered, their intestines and their bladders are cut by machines, and that their excreta are sprayed all over their bodies. And when you make hamburger out of there and bologna out of there, and you compress the meat and you make sandwich meat out of there, then of course those bacteria get in there, and then they multiply, and some of the bacteria like listeria mm-hmm. even like cold temperature. So and when sure. death occurs, people feel sorry for the companies, because the companies say, well, we're sorry it happened, and we don't even guarantee that it won't happen again. And the governments no longer even inspect these places. There is a system called HACCP. In other words, the companies will do their own inspection and only report when they something happens.
Right.
And so, in other words, we have surrendered our sovereignty. We have surrendered our control, which took so long to develop, the Food and Drug Act, and now they're calling it the Modernization Act.
We've
this
surrendered.
Modernization?
Yes, Shiv. Hold on, we have to pause again here for just a couple minutes. We've surrendered so much to what used to be a viable government, or at least somewhat viable, but I think we've also surrendered our rights to the corporations. I think they go hand in hand now. Some say it is a corporatocracy. We do know that the FDA and the CDC basically are revolving doors for private corporation employees to come and go. They'll spend a few years in the CDC, then they'll go back into the food industry and the pharmaceutical industry. It's a joke, and the joke is a deadly one, and it's actually poisoning a nation. We'll be right back with Dr. Shiv Chopra in just a couple minutes. Okay, welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Shiv Chopra. He is a remarkable crusader who is fighting for all of us. By the way, we talked about who writes this trash, and it's more than trash, it's evil stuff, these bills. Monsanto, of course, says it could care less about the bill, has no real interest in it, and wouldn't benefit from it. Ho ho. But Monsanto's big gun, Michael Taylor, remember him, Mr. RBGH? He gave us RBGH and unregulated genetically modified organisms as well. He seems to be somehow involved in designing the overall framework of this Senate Bill 510, and is said to be very much looking forward to working as the food czar for the FDA. Which is also an illegal position. Anyway, we don't know for sure, but these names keep popping up. Shiv, go right ahead, please. Wonderful presentation.
Well, you know, you were talking about the revolving door, and now you're talking about Monsanto and Michael Taylor and
right.
RBGH. RBGH also came to Canada by two companies. It wasn't just Monsanto. It was Monsanto and a competing company, Eli Lilly. Because in the United States, genetically modified products are patented, but no other country allows patenting of living organisms or their products. So BGS happened to be one of those things. So in Canada, patent was not allowed, and two companies came. And the one made by Eli Lilly came to my desk in 1988. And I asked some questions, as a scientist should, as a regulator should. And my questions were very simple, that this is a growth hormone, it'll stimulate other hormones, so go and test it. And I told them which ones to test for in the bird, the animals.
Uh-huh.
And that company didn't. And the matter went on and on, and the files were taken away from me and my colleagues, and they were made secret. And finally, right from the beginning, the U.S. FDA itself, not Monsanto, the U.S. FDA itself said, we have done the test in some laboratory rats for 28 days and nothing happened, so therefore safe for humans. And then they cleared every kind of bovine growth hormone. Uh-huh. They didn't even call it the RBGS. They just called it the bovine growth hormone, or BST, bovine somatotropin, the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And based on that, the United States passed it, and Canada was being pressured to pass, and my colleagues and I were not passing it. So this went on for 10 years until I've got into trouble with my department, and I got the files forced open in 1998,
mm-hmm.
10 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And because my question was, what happened to the letter that I sent in 1988?
Mm-hmm.
Well, once we discovered, once we went into the files, and all, by the way, all that is described in my book, Corrupt to the Core. When we wrote that, when we got into the files, we discovered Monsanto had actually done the studies exactly along the lines what I had asked for, and all my questions were actually verified and proven. I was proven to be wrong, and it, because it stimulated an insulin-like growth factor, it affected there were effects in the thyroid, there was effect in the prostate, and I'd also asked to see if there was effect in the ovaries, but they were only male rats, so we don't. In any case, eventually, this thing grew up in Canada. It went to the Senate of Canada. Mm-hmm. Farmers didn't want it. People mm-hmm. didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
The cows certainly did not want it.
Right.
And then I was hauled before the Canadian Senate to as a parliamentary witness, and there it all came out. And then Canada was forced not to approve it. Based on what happened in Canada, the European Union actually banned it. In other words, banning means Canada could still import milk products from the United States, but the European Union would not allow any of that to come because they banned it. We just did not approve it. So there was a small technical difference. And so then we talk about revolving doors. There, Michael Taylor went back and forth. There was a Canadian vice president, Monsanto vice president, who was also advisor to the Minister of Health in Canada. And so in my book, I also quote a speech given by a Monsanto executive in Canada in 1990, where he says this is what we're going to do. This is a plan. If 8 or 10 large corporations get together, they will be able to control the whole world according to the way they want to run the world. And that we are precisely there now. That out of those 10, they mentioned about 8 of them were chemical companies, drug companies, and pesticide companies.
So we're there. We are in the hands of 10, primarily 10 corporations.
Well, yeah. I mean, just today, the Supreme Court of the United States has just ruled, overturned a decision made by a lower court judge that alfalfa should not be allowed until it's properly tested.
That's
genetically
right.
Modified alfalfa should not be allowed.
Supreme Court
to
said
be grown. And
fine.
Here are these judges saying, and one of those judges apparently is connected to Monsanto and on the Supreme Court. So
yep.
They're saying, well, that's just too bad. It cannot be protected completely. It's not a big deal. Just let it go. So, in other words, there's contamination. 80 to 90% of the crops in Canada, edible crops in Canada and the United States, are contaminated with genetically modified organisms, directly or indirectly.
Yeah, that means some of our so-called organic crops are actually contaminated too. We
you
don't
cannot
know how many.
Stop it. You
no
way. Stop
no, it travels on the wind.
Yeah, it's in the wind, and if anybody, exactly. And so they have contaminated. And the same thing is being pushed onto other countries. There was a big fight a couple of months ago in India where Monsanto wanted to produce a genetically modified eggplant, where they put BT eggplant, and it exploded big time in India.
Yes.
And people came out in the streets, and now it was not approved, but then there's a fight going on inside the Indian cabinet. But there are some ministers who side with Monsanto. One minister stopped it, and who knows how long they can last.
How long is right. Hold on right there, if you would, Shiv. We have to pause. This is all extremely important material. By the way, his comment about the U.S. Supreme Court, ex-Monsanto attorney Clarence Thomas, Justice Thomas, will hear the Monsanto, the major Monsanto case. But they basically said that alfalfa is fine. The GM alfalfa, no problem. 10 corporations, chemical corporations. Think of 6 or 7 running the U.S. media corporations. We're in the hands of so few people. It's amazing. Be right back. Our conversation, our last segment already. Without people like Dr. Shiv Chopra and our friend and colleague Jeffrey Smith and a few others, just think of what they're doing against these enormously powerful corporations. 10 chemical corporations, and look at the media in this country. 6 corporations control 95% of it or thereabout. By the way, Senate Bill 510 is currently on Senate legislative calendar status under general orders, meaning it could go to the Senate floor for full consideration at any time. And let me just tick off a few things, Shiv, if I may, for the listening audience so they understand a little bit more about 510. It puts all, now get that, you're not going to believe this, folks, that these bills cannot be written by Americans or Canadians or human beings. At least not the kind I recognize. It puts all U.S. food and all U.S. farms, okay, food and farms, all of it, under the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Defense in the event of contamination or an ill-defined emergency. It would end U.S. sovereignty over its own food supply by insisting on compliance with the World Trade Organization, thus threatening our national security. All right? It would allow the government, under maritime law, you know what that is, to define the introduction of any food into commerce, even direct sales between individuals, two people, you and I perhaps, as smuggling into the United States. I hope you got that. Any two people selling food could theoretically be charged with smuggling, obviously a felony. It imposes Codex Alimentarius on the United States, which is, of course, a global system of control over our food and especially our supplements. It would remove the right to clean, store, and thus own seed in the United States, putting control of seeds in the hands of Monsanto and other multinationals threatening U.S. security as well. Anyway, it goes on. It includes NAIS, the Animal Identification Traceability Program, blah, blah, blah. This is all beyond belief, but it's true, and we are being attacked, Shiv, from so many different angles. This is one of the most crucial, though. Go ahead, please, my friend.
Well, I think we've just talked about, in general, what the problems are, but there must be also be a solution, and the solution must be very simple. I've already described that in my book in the last chapter, that there are 5 products that make that our food the most toxic. Those are hormones, antibiotics, slaughterhouse waste, genetically modified organisms, and pesticides. All 5 have never been tested, shown to be safe as required under the Food and Drugs Act.
Ludicrous.
So therefore, people have the right to demand, that is the national emergency, that these 5 products should be shown to be safe. Meanwhile, remove them from the food supply. They've been there for 50 years, and otherwise, whoever sells it otherwise should be prosecuted under the Food and Drugs Act. And the governments themselves are therefore subject to that. So they're not doing that. Therefore, people have the right to say, why are you removing that law? It's because they are afraid of litigation. public liability, because once Vioxx and this and bad vaccines, all kinds of things that are happening, breast implant, and so therefore people then can, under the U.S. law, sue the government and the companies. And but they are afraid of that, so therefore now they're coming up with this. There's a similar bill in Canada. It's called C6, and it's called Consumer Protection Act. So in other words, now they're going to protect the consumer against and not apply existing law, which is the Food and Drug Act. A similar bill is being proposed in India. It's called the Biotechnology Regulatory Authority of India. In other words, all governments are in the hands or the pockets of the these multinational corporations.
Right.
So this is a global takeover by companies and our politicians, who are elected officials. They are, without consulting with people, going ahead and doing it. This is why I call my book Corrupt to the Core. Everybody become corrupt. Listen, we're not talking about Wall Street. We're not talking about Goldman Sachs. We're not talking about mortgage companies or banks. Or we're talking about people's food, the most fundamental right. Because if you remove the five things that I've mentioned, automatically all food does become organic. You don't need to certify it. The price doesn't go up. People will then grow automatically. All food becomes organic if you remove those five things that I'm talking about.
The problem is we can't remove GMO contamination from the environment.
Yes, you can. If you ban them, if you remove them, if you disallow them, then automatically it turns back. GMOs on their own do nothing. They're weak seeds, and they die on their own.
So the plant species' genetic makeup will refer and restore itself to its original condition?
That's right, because the natural condition is always hardier, it's stronger, and these seeds really can't survive. The only reason they're surviving is the support they're getting from pesticides. Mm-hmm. And even that's not working. One pesticide, Roundup, went away. Then they came up with BT. In Canada, they have now 8 different genes they've injected in corn. It's called smart stacks. Mm-hmm. And you know, this word smart is the stupidest word that I hear in so many places. Smart bombs, smart regulations, smart stacks, smart this, smart that. It's not smart.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
It's not smart. So I think people are going to have to do something. People are. They're frustrated. And this is the most revolting thing that is happening.
We can't everywhere. No, your point is well taken. These laws are being enforced, or at least interjected into the societies of countries all around the world.
This
is
not the corporations.
That's right. This is not just endemic to North America. We have a situation, Shiv, where we really are at a crossroads. We either stand up and force the government to respond and represent the will of the people, the majority of the people, or we do, might as well snap on the leg irons and sit down for our GMO breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We've got to do it. If the people
don't
do it,
you know, the U.S. government has its head in the sand, because this is the richest country on earth, at least at this stage.
Yes.
And everything is going somewhere else. Our food. These corporations are saying they're going to feed the hungry world. Nobody's feeding the hungry world. The hungry world has been feeding the rich world for a long time. Food now comes from China, India, from
Latin America,
Latin America, Mexico, Brazil, and so forth. So who? And now these same companies are going to Africa to buy land to grow food.
China, big,
And you know, when the food is so contaminated. And it's the same corporations which are growing, doing these things over in those countries, like melamine got into milk and other food and so forth.
Unbelievable.
Now they're talking about making standards of how much melamine you can take. In Canada, they're taking...
Really?
And they want to put a standard on how many listeria can you swallow in your meat without dying. I mean, imagine what's happening.
Well, they do that in California. They've already passed laws on how much pesticide a child can safely safely consume in his or her fruit, vegetables, and food. How much pesticide is safe? This is
what they call that maximum residue limit.
Yeah.
There are things that cause cancer. You cannot determine the maximum residue limit because a single molecule can attach to a single cell in the body.
Right.
And it can trigger a new cancer. And
absolutely.
Can also promote an existing cancer.
Absolutely.
So.
Yep. How much is too much? One molecule is too much.
One molecule is too much because you know it causes cancer. The same way you've got antibiotics which are causing hospital-borne infections coming from the farms.
Oh,
we're talking about MRSA, VRE, these superbugs that are killing people. So, you know,
and,
it's
and
all coming from the farms.
The 60 or 70% of the antibiotics manufactured in the United States are being fed to livestock, not people.
That's
the majority, two-thirds of it or more, goes to livestock. You're eating, when you eat red meat, ladies and gentlemen, and chickens, it doesn't matter, and probably fish to that matter, too. Factory-farmed fish is horrible.
Well,
you're eating antibiotics continually, and your system develops an ability to ignore antibiotics. It becomes resistant to it. So when you need
let me just say, it's not your system. Is the bacteria living in the intestinal tracts of the animals?
Absolutely.
The good bacteria die,
right.
And the bad bacteria, which are resistant, then take over,
right.
And then they spread to people. This is what the superbugs are. It's not that you become resistant. It's the bugs that infect you become resistant.
And
now you don't
have
any.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how all these new diseases are emerging.
Right.
And then S5, you know, it applies to vaccines. Look what's happening with the vaccines. Look what they're doing with this these hoaxes of bird flu and swine flu and all that nonsense.
S510 umbrellas vaccines as well. This law is so astonishing. And it'll be on the Senate floor very soon. They're holding it behind the so-called financial regulatory reform legislation. But it'll be out in a few weeks. And I just wanted you all to be prepared for it. Shiv, we're out of time. You're welcome to come back on the program anytime you'd like. And I want to salute you and honor you for all the work and all the decades you've really put out on behalf of so many people you would never even imagine. You've saved many lives, and I thank you very much for being here tonight.
Thank you.
Hope to talk to you again, Shiv.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Shiv Chopra, and his book is available simply by going to Amazon.com, Corrupt to the Core. It is a stunning essay. It's really a memoir of his whistleblowing against Health Canada. He's another great one of our time, and I'm glad we had a chance to meet him and learn from him tonight. All right, it's Senate Bill 510. We'll be on top of that for you as best we can. Back in a few minutes.
He's lost them.